Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, How Far Did Jesus Come to Save Us?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be yours today through Jesus Christ, our great shepherd. Amen. All right, we're continuing our four-part sermon series today on the words, How Far? So the first one we did was, how far are we away from Jesus' second coming? Remember that one? We saw the answer was, not far at all. He's coming very soon, so we need to be ready for it. Secondly, we looked at, how far does sin remove us from God? And we saw very, very far indeed. In fact, if we're not rescued, far away into forever, i.e. hell. So we must avoid that. Thirdly, last week we looked at how far is the road back to God when we do sin and go away from Him. And we saw the answer is very short, actually. The road of repentance. It's fast, quick, and easy if we but take it. And today, the last in this four-part sermon series on how far is, how far did Jesus come to save us? I want to look at that with you today because, you know, you can measure the distance that He came to save us is a great measure of the great love with which He has loved us. How far He goes is how much He cares for you to search for, find, and rescue each and every one of you. So let's take a look at how much Jesus loves us today by how far Jesus came to search for, seek, rescue, and save you. And we're going to do that today by looking at the other parable from Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep. You know that one. So let's take a look. We'll refresh ourselves on that one right now. Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. So Jesus told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So there's the parable. What can we learn about how far Jesus came to save us and about what His great love for you is? So let's start again here. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? So who are the sheep in this parable?
Us,
right? Well, I mean, in the context, it's the tax collectors and sinners that he's eating with, the scribes and Pharisees are murmuring about. He's saying, this is why I'm eating with them. But it's sinners, right? It's wayward, wandering sinners that need to come back to the shepherd that he's talking about here. So that includes every one of us. Are you guys sheep, by the way?
Yeah.
Are we sheep? Am I a sheep too? Yeah. How are we like sheep? Well, let's consider sheep for a moment. Number one, sheep wander and they get lost. No, they are. If you look at them in these pictures of them, a lot of times they're just wandering over the hills this way and that. They have no idea where they are. They just head down to the ground. They don't have any clue. Because it leads to point number two about sheep is they're really not smart. They're dumb. Stupid. If you think about it, sheep really, when they wander, they don't even know where they are. They don't know where they're going. They go astray so easily. They wander off in very stupid ways. In fact, you've probably seen this video where there's a sheep with his in a ditch, and the shepherd's going to pull him out. It's this long, narrow ditch, and his head is stuck straight down, and his butt is sticking straight up in the air. You see this one? The shepherd goes over and grabs the two legs, pulls out this sheep, saves and rescues it. And what's the sheep do? It takes about 10 paces down the road, bounds down, leaps in the air, and goes headfirst into the next ditch, his rear end sticking high up toward the sky again. They're stupid, I tell you. Roddy Dangerfield, remember him?
They're dumb, I tell you, dumb.
I saw another video where there's, you know, one sheep going, you know, gonna go off a cliff, all the rest of them jump off too. They're just stupid. Are we also like sheep, not only that we wander away from God into sin, stupidly, but that we are actually dumb in spiritual matters? We are dumb, the Bible says, in spiritual matters. We can do some earthly things with some intelligence. When it comes to matters heavenly, we are blind, dead in our trespasses, without a clue, apart from the shepherd. So we're like sheep that way. So number one, we can wander and get lost. Number two, we're not smart like sheep. We need to be rescued. And number three, sheep are defenseless. Can you say the word defenseless?
Yes.
Is that true? Sheep are the greatest, I think, ultimate proof that evolution is completely bunk. No sheep is going to be produced by Darwin's theory of evolution, survival of the fittest. Sheep really have nothing in their favor as a creature to survive. I mean, they wander away from the shepherd. They're not smart. They go into dangerous places, and they wander into the wild places of the panthers, the wolves, and the bears, and dangerous terrain with zero defenses. Think about it. Other creatures got all kinds of stuff, but the sheep, they have no claws, they have no sharp teeth, they have no speed, they have no armament, they have no great ability to escape danger. So why do we still have sheep? Answer is because they've always had, by God's provision, a shepherd, a man to look after them since the start of creation. Think about this. In Genesis 4, Adam knew his wife, Eve. She conceived and bore Cain, remember? And then she bore Abel. Now, Abel was a, what's his job?
Keeper of sheep.
A keeper of sheep. And Cain, a tiller of the ground. So Sheba, from the very start of creation, always needed a man, a shepherd to guard them, to keep them, and to guide them. And that's why, frankly, they're still here, and they're thriving greatly, because they always do have a shepherd that they live. How are we then like sheep? Well, let's consider this. They wander, they're not smart, they get lost, they go into dangerous places, and they have no defense. Say the words, bad combo.
Bad combo.
That's a bad combination. Deadly, actually. And it's the same for us. We wander, we're not smart, we have no defenses, and we wander off into dangerous places. Bad combo. So how can we be saved? If we be not rescued, therefore found, searched after, and saved, and brought back from our wanderings, then our only destiny is this. I said we'd be lamb chops for the lion, rack of lamb for the wolf, and lamb cutlets for the bear. And if we escape those, which we didn't, but if we did, we've got the sheer cliff face over which we would fall, never to be found again. If we had no one to search after and rescue us, if we had no shepherd. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. But do we have a shepherd, friends?
Yes.
We got one. It's Jesus Christ, the righteous. In fact, you could say God is our shepherd, but it's Jesus Christ whom he sent, God the Father did, into the world to be our shepherd, to seek after, search, and find us. And by how far Jesus come, you can tell how much he loves you and cares for each sheep. What man of you, Jesus says, having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which he's lost until he finds it? So just to clear up matters here, when he leaves the 99 in the wilderness, he's not leaving them to danger and destruction or anything like that. They're in the care of another shepherd. The point is, he leaves them there to go after the one which was lost. Why does he go after the one out of 99, out of 100? I mean, number one is every sheep in those days was very valuable. They cost something, very valuable to the shepherd. He's not into just percentages of 99 was good enough, percent. No, only 100% is acceptable. So for cost, but really the deeper, greater, more powerful point is every true shepherd, get this, loves each and every sheep of his in a deep, intimate way, in a deep relationship personally with each sheep. Let me prove that to you from Jesus. Jesus says in John 10, he says, he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Say the words, by name.
By name.
Does he know you by name? Each and every one of you? Or is he just concerned with the general mass of humanity? Oh, if I have enough people in the church, that's enough. Or does he care about you? Every one, he goes after the one which was lost by name. He knows your name, by the way. He leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Stranger, they won't follow, but they'll flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. And Jesus says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am that good shepherd. I know my own, they know me. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So he goes after and cares for the one, each by name. That's how much he loves you. The sheep hear him, they follow his voice because they love him, but he loves them first, loves you first, and loves you better than you love him. Do you believe that? If lost, he will go after the one. If it's straight into danger, he will leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which was lost at great cost to himself. Think about this. When the shepherd leaves and goes after the one, the 99 are safe, but he puts himself into great danger. Alone in the wilderness to find it. Into the land, the wild place of the predator, the lion, the wolf, the bear, the dangerous terrain, the cliffs. Even at great cost to himself, he goes after the one to rescue and to save. To rescue and save you. So how far was he willing to go after to seek, search, and save you? Okay, when he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one, where did Jesus leave to come after you, lost and far off in the wild places of sin? Where did he come from? John 8, thank you. Verse 23, Jesus said to the Jews, you are from below. You see, I'm from above. You are of this earth. I'm not of this earth. I'm not of this world. I told you that you'd die in your sins for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. So there he's searching after to find them, but he says, look, I've come from my starting place, heaven, all the way down here to earth. That's how far to search and save and rescue you. So can I read you what I wrote here? Because I thought I could memorize it, but I thought, hey, I might miss something. I wrote this, and I thought it's good for you to think about. How far did he come to save you? How much does he love you individually, each of you, by name? From the place of perfection to the land of evil. From the pure to the sewer. From the throne over angels to the hunting grounds of the devil. From God's country to the far off land of the Gentiles, where they feed pigs and swine, as we heard in the prodigal son story. From the heights of Mount Zion to the valley of dry bones and death. From his place as the eternal God to come down to become a single human cell in the womb of the Virgin Mary. That's the eternal God becoming 1/5,000th of an inch. Everything in that one single cell. From the brightness of the warmth of heaven to the cold, dark stable of Bethlehem, where divine fragrances were replaced by the earthy smell of straw, animals, and dung. Think about that. From heaven's fragrances to animal dung and a manger. From the right hand of the Father to the land of Herod, a king who wanted to murder him with bloodthirsty anger. To the country of the devil, from the kingdom of truth to the world of lies, deceit, sham, hypocrisy, criminality. To the lovers of money, to the worshippers of demons and idols. To the land of harlots and prostitutes, of war, enmity, strife, sorcery, riots and practices, drunken parties, evil, violence, hatred, and death. from the 99 in the wilderness to the one lost in the wild, dark places of evil sin. In danger, he came to search, save, and rescue you. That was pretty nicely written, eh? Wanted to read that to you, because I like that. But it's true, and it's even far more than that. You gotta measure, guys, how much he loves you by how far he was willing to travel in distance to search and go after the one which was lost, which is you. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares for you individually. And who does he seek to search for and find and save? We read here, the one. Okay, say the one.
The one.
He's after you, personally. Each and every unique person as well. For we read in the Bible, Peter says, God, the Lord, is not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. That's everybody. 1 Timothy 2, Paul says, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want every one of you. Ezekiel 18, God says to Israel, why will you die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that he should turn and live. So turn and live, O Israel. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, God says, for I'm God and there's no other. Come and be saved. For Jesus says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Get this, guys. He went after tax collectors. They were the worst, vile at the time. But to Zacchaeus, he said, today salvation's come to your house. You're also a son of Abraham. To prostitutes, like the woman in Luke chapter 7, wept at his feet, wiped his feet with her hair and her tears. Jesus says, daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He saved her. He came after even a Pharisee, like Paul, who was scandalously, deviously, dastardly going to destroy Christians and wipe out the church. Even to him, he came and visited Paul and says, rise and enter the city. I'll tell you what you are to do. And Paul said, the grace of our Lord overflowed for me, like Niagara Falls, with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Then he says, the same sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to seek and save and search after you. Do you really believe today that God loves you individually that way, as if all the world were saved and you alone were lost, he would have done all this for you? Do you believe that? You got to believe it. It's the truth. It's what the Word says. So believe it. How does Jesus seek after, search, and save the lost sheep, though? You know how he does it? By preaching to us the truth of his word. Remember when Jesus came, I'm here to seek and save the lost. He went after them preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So what do we need? What's a shepherd supposed to do? What's a preacher or a pastor supposed to do? Or a priest in the Old Testament? Preach the truth. Tell the truth and call them to repent. God was furious with the shepherds in the Old Testament, wasn't he? Remember that in Ezekiel? Son of man, he told Ezekiel, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, aren't shepherds supposed to be feeding sheep? But you eat the fat, clothe yourselves with wool, slaughter the fatlings. You don't feed the sheep. The weak you haven't strengthened. The sick you didn't heal. The crippled you've not bound up. The strayed you've not brought back. The lost you didn't seek. And with force and harshness you rule over them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became food for all the wild beasts. Lamb chops, like we said. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth. With none to search for or rescue them. God was furious. So there was no preaching. So what did God do in heaven? He said this, in verse 11, he says, thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his sheep and a flock, when some of his sheep have been scattered abroad, I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness, and I'll bring them back. Upon the mountains of Israel, and by the fountains, I'll feed them with good pasture. I myself will shepherd my sheep, and I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the crippled. I will strengthen the weak. The fat and the strong I'll watch over, and I will feed them in justice, says the Lord. Who is this that came to do this? Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the good shepherd I have come to seek and to save the lost. I came to seek and save each and every one of you. Here today, by name I have the one I love. So he brings us back by preaching to us, repent that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance and forgiveness of sins be preached in his name to all nations. And that's what I'm doing to you today. Repent if you have sin. Come back. It's a fast, quick, and easy road to the Savior. He calls you back by the word. So let me ask you a question. Okay, when someone gets saved and comes back to God, is it that the man finds God or that God finds the man? What do you think? Answer, as a good Lutheran?
Yes.
Yes. Last week you said the sinner actually finds his way back to God by the road of repentance when he came to his sentence, Jesus says in the prodigal son story. But actually, in truth, when a man comes to his senses, wandering far afield, when he comes to his senses and repents, it's really not that he found God, but that God came and found him with the word. Think about C.S. Lewis. He said, when I was an unbeliever, I always felt like it was a cat and mouse game with God. You know, I was the cat, God was the mouse, and I kept chasing him, and he kept running away, and it was hard to find, and I finally caught him. I finally believed. I finally came to faith, and I got saved. And then I realized that all along, he was the cat, and I was the mouse. He was coming seeking to search after and find me. And that's the way it is, friends, for all of us. Yes, we do come to God. Yes, we repent. Yes, we take the road back to God. A man does come to God, but it's because Jesus first came in love for you to seek and to save you through the preaching of the word. And by that, he brought you to your senses and brought you back to himself. So he finds you. And how relentless is Jesus in the pursuit of the lost one? He says, I go out and leave the 99, go after the one at the end of the wilderness. It says he searches until he finds it. Say the word until.
Until.
Has God that long-suffering and relentless in the pursuit of you? Is that how much he loves you, friends? To go after you until he finds you, to bring you home. Jesus says, this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it up at the last day. The Bible says he came at us like a polished arrow that God had made and hid in his quiver, strung on his bowstring, and shot into the earth from heaven, all that way to search after and find you, the lost sheep in the wilderness. I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many, Jesus says, for I'm the good shepherd. I've come to lay down my life for the sheep, to go into far off danger of wild places, even to die from the throne of heaven to the earth. Greater love is no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. But Paul says, Jesus saved us while we were at that time helpless and defenseless. He saved the ungodly. He died for us. God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So how much does Jesus love you today, friends? From heaven to earth, as great as the heavens are above the earth, and all the way, not just to the earth, but to the cross, to cold nails going into his hands, upon which he was hanged upon that piece of wood, the pouring out of his own blood, trickling down his face from his brow, crushed with thorns, with scorn, and the hatred of evil. He came not just into the wilderness, friends, the land of the panther and the bear, but into the lion's teeth itself, to be crushed, pierced, killed, to save those sheep, to save the one lost one. And he did that, friends, at the cross. For all we, like sheep, have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the sins of us all. He saved us by his own life, giving it on the cross into death, to rescue and search and save and find and bring home the sheep. So, Jesus then says in verse 5, when he has found it, what's he do? He lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. Do you know that God, Jesus, when he finds you, when you come to him in repentance, and every time you do, he puts you up here and he carries you? That says it's by grace and grace alone. It's not like the sheep wanders back. Oh, come on, get on your own strength. No, I'll carry you all the way into the green pastures of heaven and through this world. And he receives the sheep, get this, with unbounded joy. Would you say those words? Unbounded, exuberant joy. And when he comes home, he calls his friends and his neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost." Just so I tell you, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner, Jesus says, who repents, than over 99 righteous who need no repentance. In other words, the angels in heaven see this happen. Jesus saved you individually by name, put you on his shoulders, bring you home, and there is a party in the heavenly places with joy to the absolute extreme. God says, "I want you to have that same joy in me then, at saving you, that I have in you at your salvation." Think of how far he came to rescue and save you. So, in conclusion then today, what do we learn here? Well, we're sheep, okay? We're spiritual matters of ourselves, apart from the shepherd, we're dumb. Wander away, prone to wander and to go into dangerous places. We have no defense, friends, but we have on our side a shepherd who loves you individually, came to save you, to bring you to green pastures and still waters, both in this life and in the life to come, to forever feed you and nourish your souls. Yeah, okay, the hireling, he doesn't care about the sheep. That's why when the wolf comes, he leaves the sheep, he flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them, because he's a hireling, he doesn't care for the sheep. Jesus says, "But I am the good shepherd, I care for you. And I'm not going to let that happen to you. And I even lay down my life for you, my sheep. And I give you eternal life, and the sheep shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand, for I and the Father are one." And all this to the extreme joy of Jesus and God in heaven, and may it also be your joy and strength until he comes again to give us the kingdom. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called "How Far Did Jesus Come to Save Us?" A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.